Hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, September 21st, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
So bow down to her if you want. Bow to her. Bow to the queen of slime, the queen of filth, the queen of putrescence. Boo! Boo!
Now, Mother, I told you, if you're going to be in the audience, you have to sit there quietly. Listen, it's the equinox, everybody. The relentless march of time brings us yet another change in the seasons. Isn't it amazing? It seems like the solstice was only a few weeks ago. Well, it's autumn here in the Northern Hemisphere, and that's my favorite season. So I'm looking forward to what's to come. I hope you feel the same. As you know, last week I had the pleasure of introducing you to a superb photographer from Ontario, Canada, Leanne Bell. And this is part two of our chat for the Erotic Mind series, where we converse with noted erotic artists of every stripe in an effort to uncover something of the creative process involved in this specialized art form.
What is this? Are you trying to trick me? What is this sports?
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave the sports for another time. However, if you somehow missed part one of our conversation, there's no need to worry. Just have to look for last week's podcast number 152. And you can do that by using my site's search function. Type in podcast number 152 and presto. But don't forget the pound sign. And for more of Leanne's thoughts and vision, I encourage you to visit her website, bodyinmind.com. And from there, you'll be able to link through to her other sites, including the very thought-provoking superbeauty.org.
I don't believe this.
Well, you ought to, because it's true. This week's podcast is brought to you, once again, by the good folks at EdenFantasies.com, the one-stop place to shop for all the adult goodies you've been drooling over. Of course, you'll find a full line of top-quality toys, fetish kits, and sexy lingerie, but that's not what makes Eden Fantasies so damn special. What makes them so extraordinary is their social conscience, and that, my friends, makes all the difference in the world to a sex-positive guy like me. Their site is chock-full of tips for the conscientious consumer, practical user guides, toy reviews, and their community blog called EdenCafe.com. You gotta check out this site, folks. It's so fun and sexy, irreverent and cheeky, but it's also exceptionally informative. Look for the Eden Fantasies banner right there on the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com. You can link to the brilliant Eden Cafe from there.
When's it get good?
Like right about now. Okay, on with the show. Leanne, welcome back. Thank you again for joining us. So I want to pick up where we left off last week. And we were talking about, you know, the impact of beauty, female beauty in particular, on our culture, and how a mixed message that is both to our culture in general and the women in our culture in particular. I wanted to ask you, how did your site and your photography come about? You said last week that it's a co-production with your husband. Is that not correct?
Yes, that's true.
Good. And does being a woman give you a greater sensitivity about shooting women? One would suspect.
I believe it does. I think it's if anything, I seem to focus more on the sensuality and the prettiness, the softer side of women, because I don't have a sexual attraction to them for myself. I can look at their bodies and their faces and their hair from a very I don't even know what the word is, but just a clinical? Purely aesthetic. Almost,
right.
Clinical seems a little cold, but it's getting there.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm certainly moved by beauty as well.
Right.
I can see someone who is a beautiful woman, and I can say, she's beautiful. She really is a beautiful, beautiful woman. And so I can enjoy photographing her through my, you know, to capturing her image without feeling sexual attraction. So I think that gives me an advantage in the sense that I can focus on the purely aesthetic in the picture and get that out of the model. And it's possible that, I mean, I haven't spoken to the models a great deal about this, but I think they get it, that if I tell them to do certain things or ask them to do certain things, and I sort of see them blossoming a little bit, beneath the lens, because they kind of know that I'm trying to get out something that makes women feel womanly, because I know what it feels like to feel womanly, and I want them to feel womanly for me when I'm when I'm photographing them.
So, and we touched on this again last week, but I would really like to go a little bit deeper here. How do the women respond to you? I mean, are they initially, or some must initially, have, you know, kind of slip into the, you know, traditional nude model role and, you know, try to behave in a fashion that everyone is familiar with, but that's not what you're looking for.
Right. I tend to, There's two things that can happen. Either from the very beginning, the model is intrigued by working for a female photographer.
Right.
So she arrives at the shoot with a very kind of almost like tabula rasa. She's just going to start from scratch and just do what I want her to do. Or if she is a more of a professional and she's used to posing in a certain way, if she can't seem to break out of that, then what I tend to do is I break the tension with humor, and I will get them to laugh, and I will find out things. Like when I'm talking to them ahead of time, I'll find out things that they like or know things about them, and I will, you know, make some jokes about it and get them laughing. And I find that it's almost impossible to feel like a porn star and laugh at the same time.
It is so true. Oh,
my
God.
You can't turn on the, you know, I one of the things that I do very often is while I'm photographing, it'll be a very serious moment, and I'll be very serious professional photographer, and then I'll say, who's a sexy bitch? And they will just laugh and laugh and laugh, and that breaks the tension.
Yeah.
It just, they don't expect me to say that, and so they start laughing, and then we start joking, and then more of their real personality comes out, more of who they are and what they like in life and what they enjoy. Natural smiles instead of the forced kind of aren't I sexy smile, you know, more just genuine smiles come out, that sort of thing.
Do you ever get any feedback from your models and say that, you know, like I've been shot by X amount of other photographers, but your stuff seems to capture me the best?
Like, all the time.
I'm actually a human here as opposed to a plastic doll over there.
Some of the most flattering feedback we can get is that our models use the pictures that I take of them as their avatars on modeling sites or their business cards, that kind of thing, you know.
That is so true. Who is your audience for your site? Do you know? Are you appealing to both women and men?
Ideally, I think realistically, it's probably mostly men that enjoy the site. But we certainly have enough female visitors and female people, you know, female professionals that write to us and say that they like our take on things. That we want to make our appeal as broad as possible. We want it to be the kind of site that if you came home and found your 10-year-old surfing the net and you found him on our site, you wouldn't be alarmed.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, it's a general enough appeal that it's got something nice to say, and it's a beautiful site, it's well done, the photos are lovely, so that anybody's grandmother could enjoy it. I mean, my mother is our biggest fan, and you know, that kind of thing. So it's definitely something that we hope reaches a large audience.
It's curious that you say that, because, you know, that's basically the philosophy that I use behind, you know, including images on my website, Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And the reason is that, you know, I think that I have a really sex positive message that I want to get out. And I realize that for the casual surfer, you know, who comes onto my site, if they just see, you know, words on a page, even if those words are very exciting and very interesting, it's nothing compared to, you know, seeing a picture which would draw somebody in and then have somebody start reading around that picture for the information that perhaps is behind that image. And
yes.
So this is a teaching advice, a teaching device, and
mm-hmm.
I suspect that you are as well. I mean, you have a message about, you know, the positivity of female beauty. And you want to bring that message to the world, and you do it in a very creative sort of way.
Yes, well, it is true that when you think about it, our visual approach to the world, it was certainly pre-language for all of us.
Exactly.
We started out as infants and children perceiving our world visually before we ever learned to communicate verbally or
That's
to read
right.
or write. So that there's a huge impact still. You know, you can look around a room and identify everything in the room in your mind without naming it.
Mm-hmm.
The naming part of it is only a communication device. It's something that we, you know, we give names and words to things so that we can communicate with each other, not mm-hmm. because we need to identify something to our own minds. So when you look at a picture, you're instantly taking in thousands of impressions and perceptions and ideas when
right.
you look at an image
mm-hmm.
that if you had to describe it, that is why the proverbial picture is worth 1,000 words, why
mm-hmm.
that came about, was because it would take 1,000 words to get across what's in a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's such a powerful medium. It can dramatize a point very clearly. It can get across a message instantly. And everything you put into it has an impact.
Right.
That's why we go to such trouble to make every single aspect of our photo has a positive value to it. It's like you won't find a lot of sites you go to, their backgrounds are black, for
right.
example. Ours is white.
Mm-hmm.
And that's intentional.
Yes.
It gives you
it's
a cleaner, more uplifting, more positive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's if you frame all the pictures in this black with, you know, like lightning bolt things on the side
yeah.
and, you know, like I've seen some sites, you know, like isn't this naughty, isn't this terrible?
Exactly.
You know? Where you come to our site and it's like walking through, you know, the pearly gates. It's
That's
just
right.
like heaven. It's this
That's
beautiful
so true.
White background. And so this is all intentional. We do everything to sort of get that visual impact across.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get your start as a photographer and as a photographer of nudes?
Well, as I mentioned before, I was interested in photography just before I met my husband, and then after we developed our website, we decided to create more of the images ourselves because we were fairly capable photographers, and we were unable to get other photographers to understand our message. We would say we don't want anything sexual, and we would get sexual. We,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't want stripping because
mm-hmm.
that's supposed to be titillation,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yet we'd get nothing but stripping pictures and that sort of thing. So we decided that we're going to create the world as we'd like to see it. And so we developed our own, we gradually started, you know, contacting models and setting up sets and shoots
mm-hmm.
and just starting to publish our own pieces. And it became a staple of the site, so we're still doing it. We're quite happily still involved in it.
So if you're looking for quality control, do it yourself, in other words.
Absolutely. Well, I think to a large degree, too, we realized after a while that you can't be an artist and hand someone else the brush.
Right.
You have to create your vision
right.
yourself.
Right.
And we're rare in the sense that we both have the same vision. It doesn't really deviate very much from one to the other. Like,
mm-hmm.
very often we can't tell who took what picture after we've done a shoot. Because our aim is so similar,
mm-hmm.
and our sensibility is so similar. So we really are, we do sort of act as one when we're
mm-hmm.
when we're on a shoot. And
mm-hmm.
so we're creating art to our own vision the way any artist does.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't expect other people to sort of see your vision as clearly as you do. So
right.
that's been a large motivating factor for us, is just
mm-hmm.
creating the beauty that we would like to see in the world.
Right. Interesting, because something just flashed, and then I want to ask you about. When I was doing the porn shooting with my video production company, Daddy-O Productions, I would employ 3, sometimes 4 videographers, and we would all be shooting the scene at the same time. And then in post-production, I would edit, you know, going from one camera angle to another camera angle to another camera angle. And and I got this wonderful composite, at least I thought it was wonderful. But I could always tell who was the camera operator, who was the videographer by, you know, what he or she concentrated on during the shoot.
Yes.
Now, the question I have for you is, do you and your husband shoot, you know, simultaneously or one after the other, or you run out of film and, or, you know, your little card, your digital card is filled up and then he takes over?
No, in fact, we shoot simultaneously.
No
in fact,
kidding.
Sometimes so simultaneously that we will steal each other's flash, which
no
I don't know.
Kidding.
I don't know if you know what that means exactly, but with the way modern photography is, when you're connected to the strobe in the studio,
yes,
when your camera goes, it takes the flash, it fires the
mm-hmm.
flash, and very mm-hmm. often we will shoot at exactly the same moment so that one of us will end up with a completely dark photo because the flash didn't go off. And that happens so often that
no
it shows
kidding.
Us that at that split second we are both choosing that moment to take the picture. So we've both seen something at that exact
yeah.
moment. She's doing something, she's posing in a certain way, it's a great angle, and we both fire off the camera, only one of us can get the flash. So so we joke about how we're always stealing each other's flash. So we're
cool.
very attuned that way.
How cool. You know, I remembered something also when we were discussing doing this podcast together, and you said something that I found absolutely startling, and you said that I don't consider what we do as erotic.
Right.
Well, if that don't beat all, could you possibly elaborate on that?
Sure. I think that it's important to define terms.
Right. Good,
and
good.
And these days I think that there's so many words bandied about for this industry, anything from adult to erotic
yes.
to you know, porn to mm-hmm. you know, anything.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, I find that I think most people understand that porn, for example, in most people's minds, if they really thought about it, would be almost exclusively focusing on the sex act.
Yes.
It's sex for sex's sake.
Yes.
Erotic, on the other hand, is very sexual, but there's an emotional component to it. It's
uh-huh.
focusing more on the emotional experience, not necessarily love or you know, anything like
right.
that, but there's an emotional component that involves the feelings of the person involved, which is why you can have erotica, like erotic literature,
right.
and you know, it's more you know, talking about the person's whole experience of sex and sexuality. And to me, those two terms are too narrow for what we're trying to do. It's so diametrically opposed to the idea of a woman being in a restaurant laughing with her friends and having no top on. I just don't see how that's connected to
uh-huh.
the titillation,
no
the
kidding.
Sexual experience, the I remember there was a sexologist once called John Money that described
yes.
a love map, meaning your vision of what, you know, a perfect sexual partner would be, perfect sexual experience, you know, these kinds of things. That has nothing to do with a woman walking down the street, walking her dog with no top on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, there's not there. There's no, she's not thinking about sex. She's not looking like she's thinking about sex. She's not having sex. There's nothing about sex in this woman's mind. And we don't photograph it to imply that there is.
Yes.
So the fact
because
that
you could easily,
oh,
I mean, just the way that you capture her or, you know, posing her slightly different would
exactly.
add this whole other dimension to it
yes,
that you
absolutely.
Clearly want to avoid. Interesting. Very interesting.
So that's why I don't consider it erotic, because we intentionally tell our models, don't think about sex when you're doing this. Don't give me a come hither look. Mm-hmm. Don't think about your lover. Don't, you know, think
right.
about, you know, you're having fun today. Think about your, you know, a nice time you had. Or if we do get into the sensual realm, it's more like just think about a pleasant experience or think about the sun on your skin or think about how good the cool sheets feel on your body, that
right.
sort of thing. It's not about titillation. And our purpose is not to titillate our viewers.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to turn them on, basically.
Yes.
It's more like, look at this woman. She's very beautiful. Men, women, and children, anybody could look at this image and say, she's beautiful.
Right.
That's what we're aiming for. So
yeah.
to say it's erotic just doesn't quite capture it for us. It's a misnomer, I think.
Yeah. And you must go out of your way then to avoid, like, primary or secondary sexual arousal images, you know, erect nipples, flush vaginal lips, you know, or engorged vaginal lips and a sex flush and all of that kind of stuff. I don't see that kind of stuff
right.
in your work.
Right. You won't even see open legs on our site.
Right.
We don't focus on that at all. Now,
yeah.
it's not to say that we're not denying that part of the attractiveness of a woman.
Right.
We're not saying that you shouldn't see her as sexually attractive to you. I mean, that would be unrealistic, first of all, and it would also kind of, you know, cut off a whole area of beauty. There can
mm-hmm.
be beauty in sexuality, there's
Absolutely.
No question.
Yeah.
It's just that we don't focus on the sexuality. If you want sexuality, there's lots of other sites for
right.
that. There's lots
right.
of other pictures.
Right.
What we're focusing on is it's way more powerful to look at a woman as a beautiful image rather than a sexual one.
Right.
Look at her as a powerful, self-possessed woman who represents values to
mm-hmm.
you, who represents strength,
mm-hmm.
confidence, intelligence,
mm-hmm.
bravery. You know, that's more powerful to a man in particular, but to anybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe this is kind of just a something that's carried on from the traditions of the past, like the pinup of the 50s. And,
right.
and you know, when a woman's image represented something to men,
right.
you know, you often see, like, the Betty Grable type images from the 50s that sort of helped the men during the war kind of remember what they were fighting for, that kind of thing.
Right.
So, you know, they didn't need to see pictures of Betty Grable having sex. You know, they didn't need that.
Uh-huh.
They needed something more
On the contrary.
Substantial.
They didn't
exactly.
need that because, you know, she was the girl back home waiting,
That's
you
right.
know, in
That's
her
right.
purity.
That's right.
Exactly.
And we just want to we want to continue that, the girl back home waiting in her purity who also has really nice breasts
yeah.
that you can see. What's wrong with
so
that?
So yay for that. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That's all
gosh.
We're trying to achieve.
Yeah. By the way, do you only shoot solo models?
Yes.
Okay. And you only shoot women?
So far, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Men are more difficult in my experience because...
What a lovely way of putting it.
That's a pretty loaded statement. That's not what I meant. What I meant is that...
Why I never...
Men's beauty is capturing it is a whole other ball of wax, as they say.
So
it,
true.
Men's beauty comes from their masculinity,
yeah.
in my opinion, and their masculinity is harder to capture in a still image.
Yeah.
It's, I think, some of the most powerful images of men that we've ever seen have been done by Herberts and
yes.
people like that, and
yes.
it's usually men doing something.
Yes.
They're working
they're
in
being
a
manly.
They're working in a garage. They're,
yeah.
you know, they're being manly.
Yeah.
Women can be women just by lounging on a beach and being beautiful.
That's
they can
right.
look
standing
woman-
still, mind you.
Right.
Exactly.
But a man that poses like a woman ends up looking like a Chippendales dancer show, which is a little creepy, even
yeah.
to most women.
it's
a little. When you see a man up there gyrating like he's a woman, it's
yeah.
a little strange. It's
uh-huh.
like you're not really your shaved chest and your whole, you know, you're all oily and you know,
yeah.
it's just like that's just not
yeah.
that's not masculine. That's not. That's not a man, you know.
Right.
Women would rather see the archetypical kind of you know, firefighters, construction
right.
workers,
right.
greasy, sweaty, you know,
yeah.
masculine men doing
yeah.
what men do, and that's really hard to capture in a beautiful image.
Yeah.
So I tend to sort of stick more with women,
mm-hmm.
who their beauty is it just exudes out of every pore. It's just
yeah.
very easy to bring out, and you can do 300 pictures in a set, every
yeah.
one of them more beautiful than the last.
Right.
So it's a very satisfying thing for an artist to be able to create.
Right. As a photographer, is it fair to assume that you shoot other stuff besides what the nude work that you do?
I used to when I was learning, as most photographers do.
Uh-huh.
You start out by shooting bridges and cats and everybody you can think of, and you know. But generally, I focus on the women these days. It's
uh-huh.
the most interesting that
uh-huh.
work that I've ever done. So,
mm-hmm.
so while I do enjoy if I see flowers or something that I find, you know, beautiful,
mm-hmm.
I will take pictures of it. But it's the beauty that motivates me, and
mm-hmm.
and so mostly it's I like to focus on female models.
Mm-hmm. So. Is that what you would say compels you to create the art that you do?
Yes. I often see a model or I see a picture in a magazine or I see a girl on the street or something and I think I could really make a beautiful picture of this girl.
Mm.
I really enjoy that. I have a few local women that I know that one of them is a female wrestler actually.
No kidding.
And she wanted some nice pinup pictures done of her because I
oh.
love the pinup style.
That's right.
And it's fascinating being able to make her look like Raquel Welch when uh-huh. she, you know, that's not her normal everyday persona. It's wonderful to be able to get her in this pinup outfit stuff and take these beautiful images of her and make her look beautiful, make her look really, really beautiful, because I know I can get that out of her. I know that she has that potential. And it's a really nice experience to be able to show her a picture of herself like she's never seen herself before.
Right.
And that makes her, you know, it puts a little spring in her step, makes her feel more womanly. It's wonderful. I mean, mm-hmm. when you're a wrestler, you know, there's not mm-hmm. a lot of opportunity for femininity, but, you know, she loves it. She, right. she really loves
I'll
it.
Bet.
So that's
I'll
what
bet.
Keeps me interested.
Yeah. Where do you find your models? Do you advertise or do they seek you out?
We do advertise sometimes. We often work with girls from England that are known as Page 3 girls. They appear on the third page of the Sun newspaper over there, and they're topless. And they're presented as very wholesome girl next door type, you know, mm-hmm. everyday girls that the guys can sort of feel like they're their sweethearts, sort mm-hmm. of. And
right.
they're very, very popular in England. They have a huge following, mostly because they're considered so wholesome and so
right.
girl next
right.
door-ish. And so we started working with them. We contacted them. And it sort of started snowballing from there, where we've had more girls who work in that setting contact us when we were in Las Vegas last year. One girl happened to be there, and she sort of caught up with us. So we did a desert shoot with her,
mm-hmm.
which was great. It was a wonderful opportunity to work with her, and so we try to seek out girls as much as we can. But we've certainly had a lot of wonderful models seek us out. So it works well both ways.
Great. Cool. Some erotic artists create their art with paints and or stone, but you guys have chosen a different path. So let's talk about your chosen media. You shoot digitally or on film or both?
Digitally, yes.
Digitally. But you use a lot of words, particularly on your blog, to put your images in a context. I mean, they can stand by themselves, clearly enough, but you're trying to bring a new dimension or a new perception or understanding to the work that you do, and so your words are also as important as your images, yes?
Yes, the images are often just illustrative of something that we're trying to say.
Cool, interesting, good. Today, erotic artists abound, and although in some circles this genre is still not accepted as mainstream, has this been your experience? Have you ever been on the receiving end of criticism for the work that you do? Have people said, you know, shame on you?
I personally haven't had an intense reaction. I think it's mostly because I'm not a man. I think
mm-hmm.
if I was a man, I would probably get a lot more "you're a dirty old man" kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
People are not sure when they find out this is what I do, because they instantly think, well, you're not a dirty old man and you're not a lesbian, so we're not really sure what to make of you kind
yeah.
of thing. So,
right.
but there's definitely been some, you know, over the years there is a sense that you do sometimes want to be a little careful who you discuss your work with, because
sure.
some people have very, very strong opinions
right,
about it.
Right.
And some
and
people
no
make
amount
it clear
of,
that,
you know, trying to rationalize, you know, the
no.
nudity is going to save the day. They are set,
right.
dead set against you. I mean, the same thing happens, you know, in my life, too. I'm, you know, barraged by people who said, how dare you, and, you know, dispense this kind of sexual information. And what about, you know, young people who happen to surf over? Well, you know, come on. Better that they
kind
surf
of.
Over and read, you know, good, healthy sex information
yeah.
Presented in a sex-positive way than, you know, trying to get, you know, the sexual information from pornography, for example.
Yes, yes. And we always, you know, one of our comebacks to that is always, you know, where do you think families come from? You know, where do you think young people come from?
Exactly.
You know, it's because we're all here because our fathers found our mothers attractive.
Right.
So let's not discount that,
yes.
you know, let's not
right,
pretend
right.
that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. So you look for a particular body type when you're shooting. I mean, that's true, is it not?
Yes, I think that's one of the things that sets us apart, is that we are unabashedly pro-objective beauty. We
uh-huh.
don't make any bones about saying
right.
that there is such a thing as objective beauty,
yes.
that not everyone is beautiful, which is something that you hear bandied about quite a
at
bit
least physically
in the media.
Beautiful.
Exactly. Not everyone has a physically beautiful body or
That's
a physically
right.
beautiful face.
That's right.
And we look for the most beautiful women that we can find. And generally speaking, that does seem to mean something that looks like to most people a certain body type. Although we are the first to say that we're not, you know, we're not like a breast site or we're not a leg
right.
site or, you know, like you don't have to have certain measurements to be on our site. You have to be beautiful. That's really all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be something about you that, like in some cases, some women on our site have an extraordinary face. They're just
right.
so facially beautiful that even though their bodies are you know perhaps not the most ideal, they're considered beautiful by our standards
right.
and by most people's
right.
standards, and we're happy to include them.
Right.
Other people, you know, they may have small breasts, large breasts, short legs, long legs. It's
right.
it's not a requirement to have certain things, but
mm-hmm.
the overall impact has to be beauty. When you look at this woman, you have to feel that kind of, you know, visceral and emotional reaction to her as this is a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and
what
she'd
we,
be beautiful regardless if you were shooting her nude or with clothes or
yes.
just, you know, seeing her in the supermarket. You know,
that's
she's
right.
beautiful,
exactly.
she's beautiful, she's beautiful. That's
she's
it.
She's beautiful, exactly. And we often
exactly.
do, most of our galleries include quite a few pictures of her in clothes
right.
before we get to the nudity because
right.
we want to show that beauty is beauty. You know, you can be in a sweater just sitting on a couch and you
right.
can be beautiful.
Yeah.
We prefer girls with minimal makeup and no hairstyling and
right.
you know we like to show the girl as beautiful as she is
right.
sort of to sort of take away any sense that well it's just makeup or it's just you know
right.
it's just all artifice because it isn't.
It isn't
there is such a thing as beautiful women and we like to take pictures of them so it's a simple thing really but you'd be
but
surprised.
How does it get to be so complicated? I mean it's just so amazing.
I wish I knew.
You know it's just
I wish
absolute.
I knew
and thank God that you are standing against the popular culture's notion. I mean, thank you for that. I mean, honestly, you do us all a huge service. Even the people who, you know, wouldn't think that they're benefiting from it, they are. And I'm just delighted that you've been able to spend so much time talking to us. But before we go, can I ask you, what does the future hold for you and your work?
Well, we're actually trying to move more into filmmaking.
No kidding.
We've actually done a few small films, and very short for now, but we'd like to branch into longer length productions
mm-hmm.
Because it sort of is a way, films are a way to sort of encapsulate everything. It's like
mm-hmm.
all of your creative forces come into play when you make a film, and the impact, there's probably little that's more impactful, I think, than film.
Right.
In terms of dramatizing a point or getting a message
right.
across. So
right.
we would like to move into video production of getting women either like fictional, where we create, you know, stories, for lack of a better word, or, you know, or also doing a documentary-type production, so discussing aspects of beauty and
right.
and talking points and things like that. So
yeah.
That's where we would like to aim for. But certainly in the immediate future, we're just going to keep creating as much beauty as we possibly can and keep sharing it with the world. So
good.
That's
Thank
our plan.
You so much. Thank you so much. I would love to hear from, you know, models, you know, about their experience of being inside a stunning body. You know, what does that mean for them? And how difficult was it for them to grow in acceptance of that and just let it be? Because that must be a struggle for
yes.
beautiful people.
It is. Yeah.
I know nothing about that myself.
No, me neither, but from the women that I've had the pleasure of talking to, it is a struggle.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you. Again, before we conclude, could you give us your website address and walk us around a bit?
Certainly. It's www.bodyinmind.com, BodyinMind.com. That'll bring you to our homepage, which features some of our best photography and our featured models. And there's also some navigation on there, which leads you to the different areas of the site. If you want, you can go straight to the nude galleries, where you can see all of our many galleries that we've put up over the years. Or you can go to other areas of the site, which is more like writing, philosophy, articles, news items. We do have some non-nude pictures as well. There's some video on our site. So you can easily navigate from the homepage to any area that interests you. We try to be kind of a central source for all things beauty related. So here you'll find, you know, if you want to know about things going on around the world, if you want to read you know, articles about beauty in society, or if you just want to look at some beautiful pictures, you can do it all at the site.
Thank you so much, Leanne. I appreciate it. And until we chat again, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Be well.
You too.
My Bye-bye. Best to your husband, too. And thank
you. Oh,
him.
I will.
Good, good. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Hey, fantastic show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Eden Fantasies. Listen up, you guys. At EdenFantasies.com, you have a unique opportunity to both shop and educate yourself about all the swell adult products out there. Of course, they uphold a high standard of quality in the toys they carry, but they are even more focused on customer service and consumer education. Their site has developed an online community of product reviewers, an editorial staff, fantasy contributors, and renowned sexperts, including yours truly, Dr. Dick. In fact, you'll find my ever-so-popular handy-dandy guide to penis pumps for men and those who put up with us. Look for the Guides and Tips page, click on the guides, and you will find me there, along with a load of other insightful contributors who provide a wealth of information about topics ranging from BDSM to the G-spot.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Actually, I'm pretty confident I do know what that means. Anyway, I also want to turn your attention to Eden Fantasy's brilliant new e-magazine called Sex Is. You'll find tantalizing articles and informed opinions on sex, society, health, greening your sex life, erotica, and humor. And just in case you don't get a big enough dose of Dr. Dick here on DrDickSexAdvice.com, you'll find that I have a weekly column at Sex Is, too. It's called Dr. Dick on Demand. Look for the Sex Is banner in the sidebar of my site.
I'm waiting!
God, you're so impatient. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously. Once there, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. I don't want you to miss even one episode. And hey, feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.